I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Chris Riegel, the CEO of Scholar.com, a global technology firm doing business on all the occupied continents. We begin with the occupied continent of North America. New York Times headline, fearing losses, banks are quietly dumping real estate loans. Subhead, if landlords can't pay back loans on office buildings, the lenders will suffer. Some banks are trying to avoid that fate. Chris, a very good evening to you. You first identified this problem two, three years ago during the pandemic. Class A buildings throughout the country, I remember one in particular in the Midwest, were going for severe markdowns. And the assumption at the time was the pandemic would lift eventually. There would be a vaccine. Everybody would go back to work. But it hasn't happened. New York City and L.A. get a lot of attention. But what we're looking at, and the federal government, Washington, they haven't gone back to the office. But what we're looking at now is finally the extend and pretend is either coming due or the banks have decided to get out front, front of it. Your measure of these banks quietly dumping, that's the word the New York Times inelegantly uses. Who's buying if they're dumping? Is this foreign investors? Is this insurance companies? Who wants to buy a building you can't get tenants for? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. There are certainly foreign investors in the U.S. markets looking at a lot of this excess or surplus real estate. You also have some very sharp hedge funds and private equity funds that are looking at it. The challenge being they're only able to nibble around the edges. The amount of inventory that's coming to market is so great that it will cause disruption and dislocation as this tsunami of bad debt hits. The question for the federal government, for the banks, is simply how can they meter this out over time and make it a series of small waves versus one great tsunami hitting the economy?
The examples the New York Times offers, an affiliate of Deutsche Bank and another German lender sold the delinquent mortgage on the Argonaut, a 115-year-old office complex in Midtown Manhattan, to the family office of the billionaire investor George Soros. There's an example of something that moved. We don't know what the price was. The Goldman Sachs sold loans it held on a portfolio of troubled buildings in New York, San Francisco, and Boston. And Canadian lender CIBC completed a sale of $300 million of mortgages on a collection of office buildings around the country. So there's no particular theme here. Everybody's moving what they can. And the markdowns, as I recall, they were approaching 50%. I don't remember. What have you heard about markdowns in what they call Class A buildings in the big cities?
Yeah, those Class A buildings in those Tier 1 cities, you're seeing upwards of 70% in many cases, depending on the particular property. The real challenge will be once you're beyond those flagship properties in the Class B, Class Cs, those in many cases may have zero value or negative value to buyers.
What are we doing here? Are we building a portfolio of teardowns? Are they thinking that the next generation is going to go back to the city? What is the, how long a range do you have for holding a building that's only 50% filled?
It's a great question, John. The question really comes to your exact point of, do workers return? Does the economy expand and consume the space or not? You can only fundamentally change so much of that inventory to residential or reuse it. The rest of it may become tear down or unusable.
Anecdote. One big bank, major bank in Manhattan, was directed, ordered, come back to the office 5 days a week. What followed was a revolution, revolt, especially by the young mothers who said this is arbitrary and abusive and refused 5 days a week. I don't know what the eventual settlement was, pretty much individual situations. But going into work 5 days a week was no longer acceptable, something we never would have imagined 10 years ago. Another anecdote. This is not banking. This is high-end digital stuff. The presumption was you're in the office Monday and Tuesday, and then the rest of the week as you need to. Now, that's the difference between Gen X and the millennials. I don't have any testimony on Gen Z, probably because they're juniors and can't make demands. Do you hear any differently that people are obeying the back-to-work orders?
John, I think what's really happening during the pandemic, you had the phenomenon of quiet quitting by people that would just sign off and not really work. Now you're seeing what's being known in industry as quiet firing. Many large corporations are tightening their belts substantially and doing layoffs, some public, some not so public. That being said, those who choose to say, I'm not going to come back to work, in many cases are being exited from the corporations. The pendulum has swung from an incredibly tight labor market in pandemic to a very, very excess or easy labor market today. So the power swung back to the employers. And for those who believe that they can make a stand and say, I'm not going to come back to work, many employers are saying, great, you can do that for someone else, but not here.
All right. So therefore, that would be what Mr. Soros is hanging on for, the idea that eventually you'll get a workforce that comes back. Still, there are a lot of buildings on Third Avenue in Manhattan, you know very well, that are not going to be fully occupied for the balance of this decade. So we move to a less difficult subject, which is China. For months, years now, but months especially, you've told anecdotes that I know the real estate market is not coming back. I talked to Joe Sternberg about it, and I asked the simple question, is there a plan B? Because stimulus is not working, forcing banks to buy properties and then rent them out for affordable housing is not working. Nothing is particularly working, and the Chinese Communist Party is frustrated about the real estate collapse. However, there is always the consumer. That's not happening either, except they're buying gold, I'm told. Manufacturing is an unknown to me. What is the picture of manufacturing? I think we're in the Christmas season now. Is that correct?
John, we're actually approaching, if not almost passing, Christmas season based on transit in. But manufacturing in China continues to weaken, especially on higher value products, which is the combination of reshoring or friendshoring for much of the tech or more value-added products to just a global recession and a global slow consumer. So the pressure continues to build in China economically.
And this is before tariffs. We've had the EV tariffs, but there's talk of tariffs across the board. Are the manufacturers concerned about tariffs, or is that tomorrow's problem we got to deal with today?
Absolutely petrified of the tariffs. And now not only are you seeing both Biden or Trump speak of larger Chinese tariffs in the new year, you're seeing Ms. van der Leyen, the EU, starting to address tariffs on China, not specifically on EVs, but on the basis of unfair competition to European companies. So I think globally, the U.S. and the EU as being two of the larger market drivers, there's an increased focus on tariffs and trying to level that playing field.
No, we're looking at tariffs, no matter the next administration is going to continue to use the tariff talk. And China is not in a position to fight back, I guess, but we'll see the best we can hope for. Now, Chris, it's fun to play the idea of a question that could be answered by the candidates in a debate, but is not answered. What would your question be for knowing we need an answer, but we're not going to get one from either party?
I think the key point would simply be focused on debt. Which party will control debt, get the deficit and the national debt under control, and not continue this profligate spending that puts government and business adversarially in the pursuit of capital?
Yes, the debt story is, the T word is has to be used for the debt story. I believe that this year's deficit has the T word in it. And going forward, the T builds into the century unless there's something dealt with it. The aspect of debt that I focus a great deal on is the explanation that the debt is piling up because of spending, and the spending is driving inflation. Is that your measure of what you see? The more spending, the less likely inflation is to be solved.
Very much so. The government, federal government, from a spending perspective and from a hiring perspective, is crowding out the market. No commercial business can compete with the government for capital or for people. And if you take those aspects out of GDP in the last 2 years, it's a very different economic picture for the country.
And I went too fast past the commercial real estate. Is this the solution, quietly dumping? Is that what everybody's agreed upon, how we're going to handle this debt bomb?
I think for the banks, it's certainly a navigational point to just extend for time until they see if the interest rates come back down. If interest rates lower and if the economy restarts or re-engages more fully, then you may be able to bypass the problem. But if interest rates stay high, the number of developers and owners sitting on the razor's edge will continue to grow. It's now extend and pretend and hang on for dear life. If they cannot get interest rates down, if the markets continue to stay pretty cool, then at some point it will be time to pay the piper.
Chris Riegel, CEO of Scholar.com. This is the Scholar Report. I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.